Thank you, worship team. Thank you, choir. Turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. In this brief 4-week series on prayer, we've talked about some prayer issues that I think we sometimes otherwise neglect. The first week, we talked about the need to pray worshipfully in hard times, that we keep our eyes on Him in hard times as we pray. That was Psalm 63. Then in Psalm 65, David, again, in a prayer psalm, spoke about or prayed thankfully about all the good stuff. We need prayer in both situations, don't we? But Psalm 65 is thanksgiving for all the blessings God's given. Then we went to the New Testament last week and looked at what we usually call the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer, because Jesus was teaching the disciples to pray. And we saw that Jesus was emphasizing the need to understand who God is, our Heavenly Father, who's hallowed, holy. Before we ever pray about things like daily bread and then the need to forgive and receive God's forgiveness and be delivered from temptation. So far we haven't really talked about the main thing that we probably assume prayer is about: asking for things. And while we, on one hand, learned that it's not to be the dominating part of prayer, it's a very important part. And so it's in this same discussion with the disciples, we usually call the Sermon on the Mount, it's Jesus and the disciples, in the same discussion, Jesus comes back to the issue of prayer to talk about asking for things. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. It means that God answers prayer. God answers prayer. In fact, he says it twice, just kind of to reemphasize his point. Well, he says three things: ask, seek, and knock. And in fact, the three terms are found in a grammatical form that really mean something like this: keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Jesus expects it to be something we would continually do throughout life. For all the need to worship and thank and understand who God is and in all these other areas of prayer, absolutely, we're going to ask and seek and knock our whole life long. On one hand, you say, well, why is that even necessary? Because Jesus also taught, just before the Lord's Prayer, the Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And yet He said, pray this, give us today our daily bread. Why ask? I think He said to ask because He desires a relationship where we ask so that we will recognize He's the one who blesses us. If we didn't ask, we might think we're just lucky or we're just good. But we ask to develop a relationship. I think we all realize that babies bond with their parents because they learn to be dependent upon them for every need. You know, the first thing that kids learn is to ask. That's what that newborn cry is. I got a need. I'm hungry. I'm wet. I'm miserable. And we do something about it. And then it becomes fussing, and eventually they shall ask politely. But throughout that childhood process, there is this bonding between a parent and a child because of this continuous cycle of asking and receiving, and we understand the love of a parent because we've asked and received. God wants that from us. It will be given you. Now, don't take that like that's a blank check guaranteed everything you want, you get, any more than a child gets everything that he or she wants. There's still the issues of God's sovereignty and big plan. There's still the issue that we see elsewhere of learning to pray according to God's will. We've talked about some of those. But there are legitimate needs, and God wants us to ask so that we recognize it came from Him. James said, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He is always good, and He always is the one providing good gifts." What's been so thrilling about this process of seeing God provide for the discipleship center is that we prayed. And because we prayed so much, and so many of us, that's why we're able to say, look what God has done. What do you need? What do you actually need? What are even the desires of your heart? Jesus says, ask. Ask. You're His child. Ask. Why does Jesus use a couple of different phrases here? Ask, seek, and knock. I don't think He's just repeating Himself. I think there's a progression that's taking place here when we go from asking to seeking. Asking is something very, very simple. Just ask. It's like, give us this day our daily bread. No child has to wonder if it's okay to ask for something to eat. Seeking is a more intense term. And I think it suggests there are times where, think of the picture, seek and you will find. You're looking for something. Why? Because you don't know where it is. That's why you seek things. There are so many times we pray and we don't know what to pray for. We don't know how we should pray. We just aren't sure about things. Don't you have a lot of uncertainty when you pray? I think that's the seeking issue, where you don't know what to do. A couple of years ago, this is a simple material thing, but we were needing to replace our main car. And as we had some money saved up and going to start shopping, but about the same time we realized that our school car was giving us some continual problem, and it was an internal engine thing, and we weren't going to kind of go, man, it looks like we really need two cars. But do we do two cars? Do we do one? And so as I prayed about it, and kind of a long, complicated story, but somehow between Craigslist and prayer, which is a really good combination, we had a day that I'll never forget. Tuesday morning, Priscilla and I leave, and to go, we had called about one car, and we knew there was a second one that we were going to look at. And on that day, by the time the day ended, we bought two cars. Okay, I don't think it'll ever happen again. We're still driving both cars, and they both are God's blessing as the day came about, and we began to see the wisdom, the provision of God that day. James again said, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously wisdom to all without finding fault. Doesn't say, what are you asking? And it'll be given you. God will give us wisdom and direction. Are there prayers where you're praying for wisdom, you don't even know what to pray? God loves to give direction. He loves to teach us through this process of us seeking His will. And it seems that as we're having this conversation of prayer with Him, He uses it to make us, I think, more sensitive to His Word. We begin to, if you're talking to God, talking this way, isn't it likely that we'd be more sensitive to things that He said to us? Isn't it more likely that as we've been talking to Him, we will hear and understand godly advice that we might seek of other people? And even God, the Holy Spirit, directly showing us things. You've surely had the experience where you're explaining a dilemma you're in with a friend, and as you're kind of verbally processing and talking about this dilemma, have you ever had that where all of a sudden, I know what I should do? Just because you're kind of talking about it. Well, if that can happen on a human level, how much more if we are talking to God, is He able to often direct us and give us wisdom? As we celebrate God's goodness today as in such an amazing and for many of us a surprising way as a church, my mind goes back to this process as the board was discussing that year and praying, is this the thing we should do and pursue now? And then, well, who's going to help us do that? And someone, you know, knows this company, and we contact Zion, and they help us design the things that you've seen. And then how do we communicate this? And somebody else knew about this company that helps in just organizing how you communicate these things in a larger body. And these were difficult things for us as leaders because it was different. Because we needed wisdom. If you do the same thing all the time, you don't need much wisdom. But when there's change, we have felt that God has given us wisdom step by step. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you will find, I think, that wisdom. And then there's that third term, knock. I think knock has to do with praying about seemingly impossible closed doors. When you think about knocking on a door, do you tend to knock on open doors or closed doors? We knock on closed doors because they're closed. And in fact, the idea is that somebody else is supposed to open them for you. And how much do we have prayers that of things that seem impossible? We might ask for daily bread, just developing this dependence on God, and we might seek His wisdom on other things that are troubling, but then there are the closed doors, the things that it seems impossible. And God says, I know that. We have those tangled webs of problems that, it's not as simple as people think, because there's this and there's that, and there's what I did, and then there's the hearts of other people that are involved. And how do you pray for your child's salvation or walking with the Lord and seemingly impossible job or whatever it might be, and addictions and emotional, you know, so many things that just seems like it just closed. And Christ says, be sure to ask, seek, and even knock on closed doors. Now, God may have a reason for the door to be closed. We don't know that. But there are things that seem impossible. And I have to admit that as the numbers, kind of knew the numbers would be big, as the numbers came in, I go, like, this is crazy. And He said, knock. And my faith trembled. And it wasn't because of some companies. It wasn't because of board or the methods. It's because God said yes when we knocked. That's all it was. And I think we needed it to be as big or daunting as it has been so that we could sincerely say, this is something God is doing. Only God. Verses 9 and 10, 9, 10, 11, Jesus, after saying, ask, seek, and knock, and says, you know, this really boils down to your view of God. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? These are like absurd illustrations. Maybe a little bit of humor even in it. If you then, though you are evil, us parents, that's us, sinful parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Dads don't cruelly trick their children and neglect to meet their need. You can kind of imagine how a rock would look like a loaf of bread. Now, this reminds me of something my dad did. My dad found this rock when I was a kid that looked exactly like a potato. I mean, it was the size, the shape, the color, the dimples, everything except the weight was a potato. And you know what he did. So one dinner, there's this bowl of baked potatoes on the table, and I forget who it was, but somebody goes, Somebody got the rock. And it was a gift that kept giving. That thing got wrapped in tinfoil so many times. But he did feed us. What to us was a stretch, what is a faith-building, long, seemingly complicated process, is a matter of God saying, yes. Yes. The snake thing brings up, I think even Jesus knew how the disciples would react to a snake story. A lot like us, because snakes are just creepy. But beyond that, snakes were unclean animals. It's like saying a pig. It was like, ugh, nobody is supposed to eat a snake. Will dads give their children something intentionally to defile them? Harm them? Of course not. Would God say yes to something that would not be good for us? Because if dads know not to give things, some things that would defile or not be good for a child, so while it's saying God give a good gift, it also says that it's implied God does not give us things that are not good. I wonder sometimes about unanswered prayer. In fact, I wonder sometimes if when we get to heaven, there might be like a reveal prayer class you have to go through. and God's going to list all the prayers he didn't answer so we can praise him that he didn't answer them, okay? Because we don't know always what's best. We don't know when we were maybe asking for a snake when there was something that would have actually harmed us. But God is the God, the giver of every good and perfect gift. And what are the good gifts God has given you? And some of those he's not given for his reasons. But what are the good gifts God... Do you trust that your Heavenly Father knows best? What's our view of him? Our view of his goodness should be forever settled by what he did at the cross. Paul said in Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? The all things is in a spiritual context. I think it's all those things that will help us spiritually. And there are material things that help us spiritually. We go, wow, that was God. Will not God give us all things? If God has done the ultimate, will he not also give us everything that will accomplish spiritual goals? People, we want to use what God gives us, this building, that building, people, ministry opportunities, to please and honor the message of the cross. And if God is saying yes, it's because he wants to do that which is spiritually amazing through us. This morning as we go to the Lord's table, we're on one hand celebrating God's generosity to us in a financial way, but all that generosity goes back to the cross where, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And it's the basis, that's the culmination of two chapters speaking of financial stewardship. But he says, just remember that this all comes down from the indescribable gift that God gave us through his Son. Let's pray together and then we will celebrate the Lord's table. Heavenly Father, you are the giver of all good, perfect things. And this morning we acknowledge individually in our lives, we can see the good things you have done for us. You've given us this church family. That's a good thing. You've given us salvation, spiritual progress, opportunities, ministry. You've blessed us with our families, friends. This Thanksgiving season, we're often thinking of the material ways you've blessed us, maybe as a nation, as a family, as an individual. We're bountifully supplied. And we do thank you for your work among us in providing for the needs of this church ministry here and around the world through many years. And Lord, we look forward to serving you faithfully for many years or until you return. But we know you've done a work among us, and we pray that you would honor and bless that work in a continuing way. And now we look to you and the cross and thank you that it all started with your grace to us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.